We sometimes need to stop and think about the condition of those around us. We need to stop and think about the condition that we were in before we became Christians. I think it's easy to get complacent. It's easy to get to, well, you know, this is the way it's always been, but it hasn't been. And I think we need to be aware of that, because before we obeyed the gospel of Christ, Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2 says, we were separated from God. It reads this way, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. In other words, it's not God's fault. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. We were separated from God. What a horrible thought. There's a chasm, there's a gulf that's between those who have not obeyed the gospel and those that are with Christ. But so many times we look at our friends, oh, they're nice people, they're friendly, they're good. We'll even use the term sometimes, they're good Christian people. Not according to God. If they've not obeyed the gospel, they're separated from him. In the book of 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, tells us that someone in that situation is not only separated from God, but is in a place to where they are lost in sin. Lost in sin. What, again, a horrible thing. But our gospel, Paul says, is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this world is blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel, light of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine on them. They're lost. Friends, family members, neighbors, are we concerned about that? In Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, goes on and talks about it in very much the same way. Ephesians, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2, tell us that we're in a state of spiritual darkness. You know, it's awfully hard to see when you're walking tonight. It's cloudy. It's overcast. There's not much in the way of moonlight. There's a very bad situation as far as being able to see what's going on. And that's exactly the condition of those who have not obeyed the gospel. When I was just a child, we were out getting our candy at the end of October in the Halloween season. I had one of those rubber masks that fit all the way over my head. And I was the back of the group, and I'm running to catch up one of these great big cedar telephone poles. Jumped right out in front of me. I mean, full speed, I'm running, and bang, my face hit right against that thing. My nose still has a bend to it from that event that took place 60-some years ago. That was the end of my Halloweening for that night, by the way. My nose bled considerably, but I was in the darkness. I couldn't see. And that's exactly the situation that we need to understand our friends are in. Paul says in Ephesians 2, you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. When you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. And when he goes to the 5th chapter of the book of Ephesians, we can see in verse number 8 that it goes on and says they were in a state of darkness. We can see that there's a tremendous need for those who are outside of Christ. He said, you were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There's two warnings going on there. If you're lost, you're in darkness. If you're a light, you need to walk as children of light. It doesn't do any good to claim the name if you're not walking the walk. As a matter of fact, that's a deceitful situation to be in. And Jesus came in Luke 19 and 10 to seek and save those that are lost. He didn't come for the righteous, for there are none righteous, no, not one. We need to make sure that we understand that we are not righteous. We're all lost. We're all sinners. We all need the gospel of Christ. And those who are saved, those who are living according to what the Bible has to say, need to make sure that we're living according to the gospel, that we're living according to what God would have us to do. Paul said he was sent to deliver people, the Jewish people as well as the Gentiles, to open their eyes, verse 18 of Acts 26, in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive the forgiveness of their sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith. So the question comes down, how does one who's separated from God, how does someone who's lost in sin, how does somebody who's in spiritual darkness come to the light? Well, I think we know the answer to that, but are we telling our friends the answer to that? When we look at them and we see them in that situation, we understand where they are intellectually, but are we willing to step out and do something about it? In 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, in verse number 14, we're told that it's the gospel that calls people. It says, to which you are called by our gospel, to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That which saves folks is obedience to the gospel. And every alien sinner has to come to Christ that way. There is no other. It's not a matter of how many good works you can do, or how much money you can give, or how much prestige you can bring to the church by being a member of it. It's whether or not you have obeyed the gospel. And the Bible describes in absolutely beautiful terms what happens when we do obey the gospel, when we hear and believe and repent and confess and are immersed for the forgiveness of sins. It wants us to know that something very important is happening when that takes place. Go to the book of Colossians, the first chapter, and I'm going to be looking at verse 13. It says, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. Colossians 1 and verse 13. He's delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There's two entities out there. There's two organizations. And one is the power of darkness and the other is the kingdom of the Son. The only way to get from one to the other, to get from the power of darkness, is to be called by the gospel. And when you obey that, then you're delivered. That's a beautiful word in the original language. It has to do with the idea of being rescued, of being bought out of a slavery situation. You're delivered from the power of darkness. God fully wants us to understand there is a power of darkness. There is an evil force on this earth. There is a power and a force that's there. But we can be conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And when we are, then we're safe. We're inside. It's kind of half snow, half rain when I came in a few minutes ago. But we're dry in here. And that's the difference between being in here and out there. And it's the same illustration when you're out there in the world. All kinds of stuff dump on you. When you're in the kingdom of His dear Son, when you've been delivered from that power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of the Son of His love, then you have redemption. That's a picture that God wants us to get. And He also talks about it in 1 Peter, the first chapter, or excuse me, the second chapter, in verse number 9. It said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Now, why would He do that? That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Did you see all the contrast that we're building up there? It went from a special people to being no people. It went from somebody who had no mercy to people who've obtained mercy. What a beautiful picture it is. And I think it's important for us, experienced Christians as we may be, to stop and look at what we have. And to stop and look at what God has done for us, that we may appreciate it even more. Go to the book of 1 Thessalonians 5:5. It says, you're all sons of light and sons of the day. You're not of the night nor of darkness. Is that not telling us that there has to be a contrast between our life now and what it was? What a shame it is many times we tell folks, you know, you don't have to change that much. You're already a pretty good person. You're already doing a lot of good things. You're a child of darkness. You're a child of the night, is what they need to be told. And they're given the opportunity to become sons of light and sons of the day. We have had that privilege. I believe everybody in here is a Christian. We are not children of the dark. We're not children of the night. We are children of light and sons of the day. And what a privilege that is, to be able to stand here and to know that is the situation within us. If you'd like to turn with me to the book of Romans, I'm going to be going to the the 13th chapter and verse number 12. It said, the night's far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Paul's telling these Thessalonians, using a military figure, the idea of having on one set of armor, one set of battle gear. And he said, that's over with. It's far spent. Satan has done all that he can do to stop you from becoming a Christian. So let's cast off his works. Let's cast off the things that he would have us to do. And let's put on the armor of light that he describes in various places as being the things that we can use to fight Satan. What a change that comes about because of our obedience to the gospel. Now look in 1 John 1. I'm going to look at verse 6 and 7. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie. Oh, wait a minute, John. What are you saying? You mean there are some people who have been delivered from the power of darkness and conveyed into the kingdom of His Son, who are still living a life of sin? A life of following after what Satan would have them to do? He calls it walking in darkness. They're claiming this and doing that. He says, if we do that, we lie. And we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, there are marvelous things that happen. He tells us, first, we have fellowship one with another. We have joint participation together. We support and encourage and help and strengthen one another. That's what it means to have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. He's not talking about the occasional lapse into sin. He's talking about living a life of sin. He's talking about walking in darkness. Because as we walk in the light, if we sin, when we sin, the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from our sins. That's the situation of those who have obeyed the gospel. And that's the situation of those who have not. We need to see and understand and see that we're willing to let our friends and our families know the things that they need to know about their situation. Now, let's look in the book of Ephesians for a minute, because I want to make some applications of this and this idea. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse 11, to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful to even speak of the things which are done by them in secret, but all things that are exposed are made manifest by light. Whatever is manifest is light. Context of that is found in the verses before it, where he talks about filthiness and foolish talking and coarse jesting and fornicating, uncleanliness and covetousness and idolatry, sons of disobedience. He says in verse number 8, we once were darkness, but now we can have no fellowship with darkness. In other words, as we go through our daily lives, we cannot share in the things that the world does. The world sees nothing wrong with gambling. Pick up a few lottery tickets, that's okay. No, it's not. That's having participation with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have a beer to drink at night to relax and settle down after work. That's still destroying the body. That's still a sin. We can't have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. It's shameful to even speak of such a thing. But there's a greater context than just what we find in Ephesians 5. If you'd like to go to 2 Corinthians, I'm going to chapter 6 and verse 14. He says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, don't fellowship with them. We have fellowship one with another when we're walking in the light. And if we're in the light, we can't have fellowship. We can't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with lawlessness? There can be none. You cannot stand here and be a lawless person and a righteous person at the same time. That's just common sense. That's just an absolute fact. But listen as he goes on, as he drives this point home. What communion hath light with darkness? The room cannot be light and dark at the same time. It's one or the other. What concord was Christ with Belial, and what part is a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, the living God. Jesus, For God said, I'll dwell within them and walk among them, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them. Be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what's unclean, and I'll receive you, and I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. We need to know there has to be that break. There has to be that separation. There has to be a distinction from the way we live and the way the world lives. Paul goes back to this in writing to Timothy. He says in 1 Timothy, and I'm going to the 5th chapter in verse 22. Don't lay hands on anyone hastily, nor, and this is the part that applies to what we're talking about, share in other people's sins. Keep yourself pure. We cannot share in other people's sins and be walking in the light. Jesus made quite a powerful statement on this in Matthew, the 7th chapter, where he is giving a lesson that many folks need to hear and need to know. 7:17 of Matthew. He says, a good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. That which does not bear good fruit is cast down, and or cut down, and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits, you'll know them. Think about that for a moment. Is Jesus just talking about trees? No. He's using a metaphor and an illustration about false teachers, about those who are walking in the light, those who are producing the unfruitful works of darkness that we've been talking about. And what he says is they're actually evil. There is such a thing as evil people. We need to know and make sure that if we're going to be the good tree, that we understand we cannot have fellowship with the evil tree. Because then you'll be producing fruit together with him. And a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And a good tree can't produce bad fruit. So what does that say? If you're producing bad fruit, you've become a bad tree. You've become an evil person. And that's the problem. Can a good tree, a tree of light, produce the unfruitful works of darkness? No. You have ceased to be that good tree. It cannot in any way do that. Fellowship with God is contingent upon walking in the light. And the fellowship that we have with others who are walking in the light, we just read it in 1 John 1, 6 and 7. We walk in the light as he's in the light, then we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse our sins. It's impossible. Impossible to walk in the light and have fellowship with one who's walking in darkness. When you do so, you cease to be walking in the light. They're not in the light. And you become a partaker of their evil deeds. Look in 2 John verses 9 and 10 and 11. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Now listen close. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. He who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Oh, I'd never act like they act. But they're my closest friends. They're the ones I pal with and hang with. Light. It's often used in the New Testament as a synonym for truth and for righteousness. And darkness represents many times sin and error. Probably nowhere plainer than in 1 John 1:6-7. We cannot walk in the light or claim to be walking in the light and walk in darkness. John says we're just lying. Lying to ourselves, lying to God, lying to one another. We need to change if there's darkness in our life. If there's a fellowship with darkness in our life. In Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse number 8, he said, you were once darkness, but now you're light. Walk as children of light. Live that way. You cannot live any other way and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. The thing we need to do, each and every one of us, is occasionally just stop and say, you know, who's ill influencing me? Who's the ones that are around me the most? Who am I fellowshipping with, sharing with, sharing my time and my influence? Is it the unfruitful works of darkness? Or am I walking in the light and having fellowship with those who walk in the light? We'll have to answer that question someday. Are you ready to give the answer? Oh, I don't want the answer tonight to me. That's not my place. But you will answer that question to Jesus Christ himself when he comes on that great and glorious morning to give comfort to all those who have been faithful to him. Please, if we can help, won't you give us that opportunity? Won't you do it right now? While we stand and while we sing.